Yeah, Larry.
I think a lot of people, they want to be rich or this and that. That's what they decide. But they really never found, the truth of the matter is, they have a lot more desire for something else, and they never identified where their energy is really focused.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Or the desire is not enough to override the temporary, you know, like you can go home, but your favorite television show comes on.
But JJ, is it because when you're spiritually awakened and you kind of know something, that there's more to it than what this material world gives you, you kind of don't place that desire to be a millionaire?
Right, you don't. You just lose that desire.
Yeah.
It's like the Buddha. All he had to his name was a robe and a rice bowl. It was his only possession, and so his desire to possess was zero. And that freed up a tremendous amount of desire to put on enlightenment, which he attained. And so that freed up all that desire for him. Didn't have any worldly thing to even enter into his desires.
Of course, he had a palace first, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah. He got it out of his system.
I tried that.
Most people that desire wealth, aren't they looking for something else, maybe happiness, and then they end up...
Yeah, oftentimes we desire something, and then when we get it, we find out, well, that's not what I really wanted. But, you know, you still spent desire energy pursuing it that could have been spent in other directions. But oftentimes, especially with the more... carnal areas of life, when we get them, we find out it doesn't produce lasting satisfaction. And as we said yesterday, part of enlightenment, before we can achieve enlightenment, we first have to descend into maximum selfishness so that we can have all of our selfish desires fulfilled, so that we can discover that that's really not where it's at. And when we discover that's not where it is, and we have a logical reason to not be so selfish. You know. Does anyone remember David West, who recently started posting?
Yeah,
I remember reading, he was telling his story, and he told how he made $100 million, and I thought, you got to be kidding. We can't have it's impossible for a person with millions of dollars. He said when he sold his company, he only wound up with, what, $9 million or so. But even $9 million, I thought, it's impossible. We can't have a guy with a lot of wealth on the list. It's impossible, because he can't be in a quest for knowledge and having attained that much money. And then I read the next paragraph. Then I lost it all. And I thought, that makes sense. Now he's completely broke. Now he just wants knowledge. And that's usually the situation. The people that are on the quest for knowledge and wisdom, are usually it begins when a person has nothing else. That's when it often will hit the person. And so I was about flabbergasted when I read that the guy can't have millions of dollars. That's impossible. And then when I read on, I found out, you know, I was right. He doesn't have millions. Now
so
he
you're ain't. Saying I'm never going to be wealthy because I quest knowledge? Probably.
It makes it difficult, but if you're starting in a good stable job right now, you know, you can and do your job, you can have the income coming in, your free time will be yours.
You just get what you think you need to, you know, have a good living, but not obscene rich.
I'm on a thin rich.
Okay, picture desire as an energy, and it's funneled somewhere. To really manifest our desires, we had to create a point of what?
Tension.
Point of tension. And it's a little bit like when you put salt in a glass of water. You put a little bit of salt in a glass of water, and the salt just disappears, nothing happens. It goes in between the empty space and between the molecules. Put another little pinch of salt in, nothing happens. Put another little pinch of salt in, then something happens. What happens?
It starts to begin to settle out.
Yeah, it settles. It doesn't... in other words, you've reached a saturation point.
Until you turn up the heat, and you can put a little more in.
Oh, really? You studied a little science on the side, haven't you?
Yeah.
So, To create the point of tension, it's like reaching the saturation point where there's no more space between the molecules. And when there's no more space between the molecules, then you have manifestation of your desire. So even though just about everybody desires to have $1 million, is there anyone here that wouldn't take $1 million if I were to drop it on your doorstep? Garrett's only one.
I'll take it.
Oh, you would take it. Knowing you, who knows what you might do. But okay, so we all have that desire for $1 million. All of us do. Even though George over here wouldn't mind getting an extra million, he could buy lots of books on his quest for truth, tapes, 10 seminars. Okay, so all of us, it'd be nice to have that $1 million, but to get that $1 million or whatever, you have to funnel the energy of desire and attention on that, just like adding salt to that glass of water. Now, there's several stages of manifestation. The first stage is what?
Thought.
Okay. Okay. Before you even have any desire, you're thinking about stuff. Did you used to think about computers 20 years ago, Rob? Well, probably he's too young. Sue,
yeah.
Did you think about computers 30 years ago? Probably not. Was it? Yeah,
that's 5 years.
Okay, let's go back, Father, 40 years ago.
Yep.
Of course, you're only 39. Okay, but first of all, the thought of having a computer in your home had to enter your consciousness, right? Before you realized there was such a thing as having a computer in your home, did you want one?
No,
you didn't even know such a thing existed or was going to exist. And after Steve Jobs finally built first Macs in the garage and everything, we heard about it. I remember my journey with computers, I heard about it and I thought, it's cool, but you know, they don't do very much, so not worth having. And then they started getting a little better, and it was enough that I read about them and kept track of them, but they were kind of costly and they still didn't do very much. And then Macintosh come out with a Mac Plus, and I says, aha, this one actually does some stuff. I desire this. And I didn't have enough money to buy one. It was $2,500 for that little thing. That was before you. That was back in 1984, I think it was. And so I had to go to the bank to get a loan to buy that. I think the Macintosh was, what, $2,500 at that time? And the printer was $1,000. And the print... Well, it was an image writer. It was about this big, weighed about 50 pounds. And I think it sold for $500, $600, $700, $800. It was pretty expensive. And I had to go to a bank to get a loan to buy the thing. And I remember when I went to buy it, I thought I had to park somewhere on the way home to get something at the grocery store. Man, I locked my car up, and I was gone from the computer for 5 minutes, and I was nervous as a dickens because I thought, boy, hope somebody doesn't break in and steal it. I was really guarded over that because it was, I had a lot of money back in those days. So anyway, I really desired that once I found out it could do some stuff I really wanted done. Before the Mac Plus come out, I didn't desire much. What was funny about computers before the Mac come out, Wayne was always talking about getting a computer. He says, let's get a computer and we'll start us a salvage business of some kind, and we'll get list everybody's parts, and they can park their car in their backyard, and we'll list all their parts. And he had this idea for some salvage business. He wanted me to go in with him. He was always talking about getting a computer. Then when computers become practical, he lost interest completely. I tried to teach him how to use computers, and he was like really hard to teach. He kept forgetting. I'd teach him how to do it, and then he'd forget all about it. I finally gave up with the guy. But he was really had a big desire for one, and it just passed, you know. But people are funny that way. So desire is a little bit of a learned thing. But first of all, we have to think about what we want and get the desire planted into our minds like a seed. And remember the correlation between producing children with the male-female egg and the seeds. With the sperm, there's millions and millions of sperm, but only one gets planted in the ovum. Just one. One really tough one finally makes his way in there, and he gets implanted. And the female energy is like that. Now, the female energy is the desire energy. The mind is more of a male energy. So the mind formulates the seed.